The reading is taken from Micah chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. Listen to what the Lord says. Stand up, plead my case before the mountains. Let the hills hear what you have to say. Hear, you mountains, the Lord's accusation. Listen, you everlasting foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a case against his people. He is lodging a charge against Israel. My people, what have I done to you? How have I burdened you? Answer me. I brought you up out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you, also Aaron and Miriam. My people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, plotted and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered. Remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, this is a first. Today you've got the Phil and Ali Roadshow. They were a bit stuck for Vickers today because they're all on holiday, so they had to resort to us. But anyway, here we go. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its relevance to our lives today. We pray that you would apply it to our hearts now as we listen to your word and listen to what we have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're continuing our series in the Old Testament, and this is week 5 of 7 sessions. Last week, Philip was talking to us about having the heart of God. And this week, we move to Micah, a little-known book, to see how we go about having the heart of God. To do this, we need to look and act like God. So here's the story. During the 30 Years' War in Europe, 1618 to 1648, you knew that, didn't you? The King of Sweden, Gustavus Adolphus, was slain while his troops were winning the Battle of Lützen in what is now Germany. Sweden was thrown into mourning, and government officials met to determine how to replace the king. Some suggested a republic. Others thought the crown should go to Adolphus's cousin, the King of Poland. The Chancellor of Sweden arose and said, "Let there be no talk of a republic or of Polish kings, for we have in our midst the heir of the great Gustavus, his little daughter, who is 6 years old." Some protested that they had never seen her. The Chancellor said, "Wait a minute, and I will show you." He brought in Christina, daughter of the king, and placed her on the throne. One of the representatives, who was especially suspicious of the move, pressed forward and gazed intently into her face. Then, turning to the assembly, he exclaimed, "Look at her nose, her eyes, her chin. I see in the countenance of this child the features of the great Gustavus. She is the child of our king." From all quarters of the room rang the proclamation, "Christina, Queen of Sweden." Now God calls us to look like him, just as she looked like her father. So Micah, today's reading's a tricky passage. Lots of historical facts and lots of reminders of times that God had challenged Israel. The prophet Micah wrote this in the 8th century BC. In previous chapters, he talks of the punishment of Israel, how they're restored, then the peace and glory of Jerusalem, and in chapter 6, he talks about the corruption of society. How relevant for us in election week. Micah grew up in the countryside, but he was aware of the corruptions of city life, including oppression of the poor and injustices practiced by those who should be upholding the law. It all sounds remarkably familiar. The whole book of Micah talks about all that's wrong with society, and he uses it to turn it round to say, listen to God and what he's offering you. In the first few verses of Micah chapter 6, he's exhorting the people of Israel to listen to God, to leave behind their lives of sin and corruption and receive the grace of God. He's entreating his people in verse 3 to respond, to come back to him. And he asks, how have I upset you? Look at all I did for you. I brought you up out of Egypt. I redeemed you from slavery. Gave you Moses to lead you. Didn't I look after you and rescue you, the Lord says, so that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. But in verse 6, Micah stands up and he represents the people and he says, how can I stand before God? Should I bring offerings to make peace with God? What have I got to offer God? Would the Lord be pleased with burnt rams, with oil as a peace offering? No, God doesn't want our sacrifices or prized possessions. And here's the strap line in verse 8. It's right on the end. And perhaps we can have our slide now, please. It's quite simple. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? If you hear nothing else today, this is the one verse to remember and take home. In the Message, I like the Message sometimes, the Message says, do what is fair and just to your neighbour. Be compassionate and loyal in your love, and don't take yourself too seriously. That's an interesting one. No pressure, but what a tall order. Which of us can say that's me? So let's look at them in turn. Justice. A definition of justice is to make right, to allow people to live in a right relationship with God, one another, and the natural creation. So how can we promote justice in our part of town? Well, there's plenty of opinions on TV at the moment of people offering their pennyworth on how we can restore justice in our country. Politicians may or may not have policies and answers, but ultimately we live in a fallen world which will never have justice until the Lord returns. We live in a complex world with so many different ways of thinking and being. But we need to ask ourselves, how can we be promoting justice and fairness in our neighbourhood and around us? The way we vote could be a response. Are we prayerfully seeking God's way of voting? You'll never find the perfect candidate or the perfect political party, but we need as Christians to take our vote seriously and vote for the person that you feel can bring justice to our world. So if we had time, I think I'd get you all to talk to each other and talk about the various injustices in society today. I'm sure each one of us can come up with a different example, but we haven't got time because we've got communion today. But I'm wondering how many of you can think about something that you can bring to mind in a minute's silence of an injustice that you know of in the world today that you feel that you could be part of doing something about. Just a few minutes to think. Lord, we just pray that you would help us to root out injustice in our world. Help us to make a difference where we live, where we work, and in our families and neighborhoods. In Jesus' name, amen. Kindness and mercy. Now, this is something we can all be involved with. We all have opportunities each day to show kindness and mercy to our family and our neighbours. How can we be aware of people's needs and reach out when we see a need? When I was a vicar's wife in Almondsbury, I used to walk around with a basket. I should have brought it with me. And people used to laugh at me with my basket because I was always walking around to the shops doing something. But I remember being in the shop one morning. So we had a village shop run by volunteers. It wasn't a big shop, but a little one. I remember being in the shop one morning and hearing that somebody's son had just committed suicide. And I thought, what do I do? Do I go home and tell Philip that this has happened, or do I go and do something about it now? And instantly, I thought, I've got to go and do something now, and went down to them just hours after it had happened. Those people were so grateful. And I've learned ever since that you have to bite the bullet, that when you see a need, you have to do it quickly, and you have to meet that need, because God puts something in our hearts and helps us to meet that need where we can, with kindness and mercy. Hopefully we're all around to help with a comforting word, a phone call, a word of encouragement, a meal, a coffee, or some practical help. God wants us to bring mercy and kindness to those around us. Many of you, I'm sure, work in charities, bringing resources to people who wouldn't otherwise have these things, bringing kindness and help in similar situations. I'm sure if I ask people here who are working, how many of you work in charities or have voluntarily, many of you in this congregation today would say that you do that already. And Christians and the church, it was seen in COVID, how much the church did to bring kindness and mercy to the world around us. When many places were closed, the churches stayed open and tried to help where they could. So let's just think for a moment's silence, how you can show kindness and mercy to the people around you. Father God, we thank you for charities such as CAP and food banks and all the other charities represented here today, where people are showing kindness and mercy and the grace of God to the people they meet. Lord, help us to be part of that movement, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, number three, to walk humbly with your God. This is a sticky one. Hands up if you are humble. Actually, the last time I did this, two people put their hands up, so you're doing well. Well done. Psychologists have recognized the importance of humility in leaders. It encourages better strategic thinking and increased performance. I praise God for godly, wise, humble leaders in our churches and society. Humility lies at the heart of our Christian faith, and it focuses on our faith and our relationship with God. So we need to work on our own humility. We have to sort ourselves out with God, our motives, our desires, and our devotion to Him. In James 4, verse 6, it said, God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. In Colossians, it says, as God's chosen ones, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Can any of us match up to that? However, with God's grace, we can aspire to that. It's about putting others' needs before our own and making sacrifices for the sake of others. It also says in Philippians, do nothing from selfish ambition, but counting others more important than yourself. When I look around this room, I see many humble people who just don't brag about what they do. They just get on with life. And people don't always see what they do because it's done quietly and under the radar. But God sees it. Mother Teresa was once asked, how do you measure the success of your work? She looked puzzled for a moment and replied, I don't remember the Lord ever spoke of success. He spoke only of faithfulness in love. This is the only success that really counts. Now, we're all awash with Glastonbury at the moment, aren't we? You could be fed up with it. But you look on the TV and you see all these celebrities, many of whom I've never heard of, I'm sure some of you have, and you think, are they amazing? You know, they can get up there and they can sing and they can dance and they can cavort around the stage. Aren't they incredible? And I wonder what we look for in celebrities, in famous people, in politicians, in leaders of our society. Are we looking to say how wonderful and how great they are? Or are we looking at people who I feel walk humbly with their God? Those are the people I admire the most. And so not many of them are in Glastonbury this weekend, but there may be some there. But it is important that we seek to find people who are humble, who walk with God. So to sum up, how does this all fit into God's big picture, the Old Testament? He called his people to be holy. They tried, but struggled. But God forgives and restores, which points us back to Christ and to Calvary. Jesus modeled what Micah's talking about and showed us how to be this people. But we can only do that with the power of his Holy Spirit. Going back to that story of Christina, Queen of Sweden, they pronounced her as a child of the king because she looked like the king. Are we children of the king? Are we seeking to be like Jesus? Have we got the face and the likeness of Christ? So finally, let's just remember those words and just bow our heads as we close. Lord, bring us to the foot of the cross, where we kneel before you in humility. Take away love of self-importance. Shape us into the people you want us to be, in the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we can serve you wholeheartedly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.